Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Back at it as we do continue with the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. So Maria Kina just threw me under the bus. Now, before she even was going to say that, I was going to keep her around, and I was going to publicly apologize to her before she threw me under the bus, saying I was the reason that she laughed a little bit. I reacted to the Brewers-Mets game, which the Mets now lead by a 3-1 score, and I reacted as the Mets were scoring runs, and that made Maria laugh.
It was the way you did it, because at first I thought you were talking to me, then I realized you were watching the game, and then I just started snickering while I was talking.
So we've had a couple things. Yesterday, I almost killed you accidentally.
You did.
So we have a very heavy door in our studio, and you were coming into news, and you were just a split second late, so I went to open up the door for you to be nice, and I got to the door right as you're like dropping your shoulder into it, because that's what it takes to open this darn door. And the door was opening as you're putting your shoulder down, and you almost bit it hard. I would have felt so bad. You are an athlete, Maria, because you figured out a way to keep your feet. And good for you.
But it was tough. I was I'm losing my balance. It was like that fall that never ended. I kept on like falling into the studio here. Finally, it stopped, and I appreciate you opening the door for me. It's just that I couldn't keep my balance.
The chivalrous moments takes you out, right?
Yeah, I like that.
But we'll spend a lot more time together now. Baseball season is over. A lot more Sports Open Lines.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I was late last night coming in here. I'm so used to having baseball on, and I was listening to a press conference, and then Matt came to the door and said, Maria, you coming in to do news? And I'm like, what? Yes, I remember. I'm the newscaster. I'll be right there.
It's amazing how much our jobs change from baseball season to non-baseball season. I always tell people, I have two different jobs. Mm-hmm. And they go, you work two jobs? Like, no, I've one job for when baseball's going on, and I have another job when baseball's not going on. Because when baseball's going on, I'm at the ballpark mm-hmm. every day. I'm working very late nights, not getting home until midnight or later. Like, I'm covering baseball. I was about to say heavy lifting. It's not heavy lifting because it's fun, but it's very time consuming. It's very grindy. And then during this time of the year, it's a 2-hour show every night, and it's just preparing for my day in a very different kind of way.
It's very different. Yeah. I mean, like over the weekend, what time did you finally get out of here with that late game?
On Friday. Yeah, we wrapped up, was about 1:30 when we wrapped up. John Camp was here for that one. So luckily for us this year, they played their West Coast games right at the beginning of the season mm-hmm. and then right at the end of the season. So they weren't really filtered in much as the season went along.
They weren't. That's right.
Yeah, which I like that.
Yeah, me too. I don't like those West Coast games.
Neither do I. Neither does my family at home.
Because I fell asleep on your post game.
That's what most people do.
Well, I didn't mean to.
Thanks, Maria.
I see you.
That's Maria Kina from the news department. Wanted to get into the news today regarding the future of Cardinals TV broadcast. And let's be very clear before we even so much was made of this today, and we really don't have any information. What we know is TV broadcasts are likely to change, but they're also not guaranteed to change. Earlier today, this bankruptcy stuff between Bally Sports, their owner, Diamond Sports Group, which is a subsidiary of Sinclair Broadcast, it's complicated. These bankruptcy hearings have been going on forever. When I was in Wisconsin, I used to do some work for Bally Sports Wisconsin. So every time they have another hearing, 3 days later in my mail, I get this huge packet that goes over everything that was announced, all in legalese from the last court case or court hearing, I guess would be the way to say it. So bottom line, you probably don't care about all that. What you do care about is what's going to happen. So the initial reporting today was that Bally had basically cut ties with every Major League Baseball team except the Atlanta Braves, that they were going to say no through the bankruptcy situation. They were going to say no to every agreement they had except the Atlanta Braves. That wasn't totally correct. It was later amended to there's two different types of teams that are connected with Bally. There's joint partnerships and there's, I guess, non-joint partnerships. And the Cardinals are in a joint partnership. I believe, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I believe that's connected to the Cardinals having an ownership stake in Bally Sports Midwest. I think that's what makes it the joint partnership, if I have that part down. That's not really, that's, that doesn't impact what happened today, but I think that's where the difference is. So they got to the hearing today, and Major League Baseball was surprised when Diamond said, yeah, we're not going to do anything with anybody except the Braves here moving forward. We are going, these contracts are not good, but teams are willing to, teams can renegotiate if they want. So that's where we're at right now. And is there a possibility, and as, again, they got to do the joint partnerships at a later time. It's not guaranteed, but there's no indication that they are going to stick with their joint partnerships while cutting ties with the teams that they did today. Right now, all indications from the people that I read and the people that I trust is that Bally is cutting ties with just about everybody except for the Atlanta Braves, that they don't like the contract terms that they're under, and through bankruptcy, they're able to get out from under those. So there's a few things that could happen in the way that you watch Cardinals games moving forward. First option is Cardinals and Bally get back together and they redo the deal with different terms, terms that Bally would accept. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think that's going to happen anywhere because Major League Baseball and Diamond Sports Group, it's been a very adversarial type thing in the courtrooms. Now, there has to be infrastructure to be able to get games on the air. And I think Bally will try to say that they have that available, so stick with us and we'll have the production all taken care of. But Major League Baseball's response to that is what they've already done in San Diego and Arizona. In the middle of the season last year, Bally dropped them, and the next day they were able to pick up using the facilities of MLB Network. And I've heard, I don't know this for a fact, so this is just something I've heard that Major League Baseball and clubs have basically already worked out deals with cable providers, both like traditional cable like Spectrum and also streaming cable systems like YouTube TV and DirecTV Stream and Hulu Live TV, all those, Fubo or whatever it is, that there's already deals in place where if this would have happened in the middle of the season and all of a sudden the Cardinals had to start producing their games one day, that they would have distribution. So I assume that's true. I don't have 100% that that's true. So the first thing that could happen is that they just stay on Bally on under different contract terms. I don't think that's going to happen. The second thing that could happen is probably what's most likely based off what has happened in San Diego and also in Arizona, that through the facilities of MLB Network, they produce the broadcast themselves. They have these deals worked out where the games go on to cable channels and everything. Like in San Diego during the regular season, I believe there's just a channel that's blank all day, and then it's time for the Padres game and it goes on the air. That's what they have, at least for the time being. And then also, as part of that, they are allowing people to stream those games through MLB TV. And I believe blackouts have been lifted in those situations. If they haven't been lifted, the idea is to get it lifted. In fact, we heard from Bill DeWitt III in the press conference earlier this week that the Cardinals are expecting to have a direct-to-consumer streaming option, which is not something that is available right now if you are in the St. Louis market. So I think that's likely to happen. What also could happen is the Cardinals could work out a deal with over-the-air partners. They could go to a Channel 11 or a Channel, what is it, 30? Is it 32 or 36, the Matrix Midwest, the Channel 4-affiliated channel. I think it's 32. Anyways, they could go to them, and there's already been some quotes from general managers at TV stations across St. Louis saying they would be interested. If you did that, though, because don't forget, the Cardinals are more than a St. Louis team. Cardinals Nation covers multiple states. So if they're going to sit there and produce their games and give them to a local over-the-air channel like Channel 11 or something else, they're also going to have to work out deals with TV stations throughout the Midwest to cover all of the area that right now Bally Sports Midwest covers through cable system. So that's a heavy lift. That's a really heavy lift. The part of just going to a local TV channel, that's not the heavy part of it. The tough part is going to be figuring out a way to get those games, the distribution all over the place, and they're going to, that's part of it. And then the last thing that they could possibly do is they could just create their own regional sports network. They could maybe get in bed with the St. Louis Blues and other entities and create content and show, you know, honestly, if they created a TV channel and half the time on that TV channel was just classic Cardinals games being run, like if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you're flipping through the channels and you see game six on TV, are you stopping to watch? I am. I know I am. So that's, they could do that, and they've got, now they would have to probably create more content, and they've already got a great content creation team with the folks with Cardinals Insider and things like that. That's a heavy lift too, though, creating a new channel. And again, they'd probably, if they did that, I think it would make sense to get in bed with the Blues on it. If they did that, that could be really fun in terms of watching it, but that's a big expenditure. And it also is going to take a lot of work to get it on the air and keep it on the air. So the bottom line is, I think we are, for those of you who are like cord cutters and you don't have access to Cardinals games, or those of you who are on like YouTube TV and you don't have Cardinals games because you don't have Bally, I think at the very least where this is moving is you are going to have a direct-to-consumer streaming option moving forward. I would guess that's going to be in place for this upcoming season. So if you want Cardinals games, you can get Cardinals games without changing your television provider. I think that's going to happen. So all in all, I think the news today is good for Cardinals fans. Might not be good for the Cardinals. This billion-dally deal that they've got with Bally was somewhat backloaded. So they were supposed to get a lot more money on the back end of this contract than the front end. And now that contract might get ripped up because of bankruptcy. That really stinks for the Cardinals. That really stinks for the Cardinals because that's money they were counting on. And that also plays into everything that we've talked about this week with the payroll eventually going down. All right, there's kind of a primer on this. If you've got any questions that you think maybe I could answer, you can text in 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. And yeah, we'll try to answer that a little bit for you. But up next, we're going to talk about a pretty serious subject in concussions in football. There's a doctor that we're going to speak with, and she has just released a study, and going to get into that with her. It's very interesting. It's coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. As we're going to switch gears a little bit, but this is really interesting. There's a new study out. And we are going to talk with Rachel Grishow, and because of this interview, I have to say big words now. She is the Director of Epidemiological Research Initiatives and co-investigator of Family Experiences Managing Football Lives for the Football Players Health Study at Harvard, and Rachel joins us right now. Rachel, did I get that? Did that sound like I had any idea of what I was talking about there?
You nailed it. You nailed it. That was perfect.
Perfect. Awesome. This study is really interesting because it's not so much about whether or not football players get CTE. It's about football players, if they think they have CTE, and then the results of that as they live their lives. Did I get that right?
I'm very impressed.
Okay.
Yeah, you get it. I'm very impressed. I think a lot of people miss that's the point of the study. As you say, it's not about whether or not they have it, because they can't possibly know. No one will know until they pass away. It's about what is worrying about CTE do to a person.
So what does it do?
Well, I think that just to frame it out, I think one of the reasons we did this study is that we think that living players are in a really tough place. A lot of the studies that are out really focus on deceased players. So in a lot of ways, the living players have been neglected in who they are, what they're dealing with. And we think they're in a rough place because on the one hand, I think they're having cognitive symptoms, right? They're having trouble thinking, with memory, with planning. And they want to do something about it. They're actually a really proactive bunch. And at the same time, you know, as you know, the conversation around CTE and head injury is really dark. You know, there's no cure. There's no treatment. You can't even know if you have it. So really, we think these players are in a rough position. And what we're trying to do is figure out what can we do and what can we say that's actually helpful.
Yeah, that's the tough part about it. Is there anything that can be done?
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay.
And I think this is why we're trying to get the word out, because we have a very different narrative that's coming out because of the data that we work with that tells a different story. And it's basically this, you know, in a sense, there are some things that players can't change, right, which is the fact that they had head injury. And there's some things they can't know, right, which is do they have this condition. But what we're finding is that the guys who are most worried about CTE are the guys who have a lot of these cognitive problems. You know, they're telling us that they're having trouble with memory and planning and all and thinking and concentration. But what's so interesting about the study that really moved me was that the guys who have those cognitive problems are the ones that are also telling us that they have other problems that lead to those same symptoms. They have things like low testosterone, which absolutely affects your concentration. They have things like headaches, which makes it really hard to focus. Former players have all these conditions like sleep apnea that make it hard to focus the next day and interfere with memory. So what we're finding is that former players, living former players, when you talk to them, have a lot of conditions that are treatable that cause cognitive problems. And what we want to do is, you know, while we wait for science to catch up and tell us who has it and how to treat it, we actually can go after a lot of those conditions that we think are making the guys feel really hopeless.
Okay. I don't even know how to like.
That was a lot.
Yeah. So in some part, it's a chicken and egg because is CTE causing these issues or do these issues just kind of exist as is? You were going to have them anyways, but there's also CTE involved. So it exacerbates the situation. Is that right. Part of this as well?
I think probably. Again, there's a lot that we still don't know about CTE. Like we know, look, it's absolutely been tied to head injury and these guys had head injury. The part that we just don't know is like, what happens if you don't treat their chronic pain or you don't treat their depression or their low testosterone, their high blood pressure, sleep apnea, whatever? We don't know how that like synergizes necessarily with the head injury to get worse over time, right? So this is unknown. So you're right, you know, in a sense, like it could be chicken or egg, but there's a possibility that there's an interaction effect. You know, there's something that they, you know, exacerbate one another that we don't know. So we're sort of saying to the guys, like, treat what's treatable. Because even if you can't know, you can bet that your sleep apnea that you're not doing anything about might be affecting how you feel the next day.
All right. So many years ago, there was the Frontline documentary that the NFL got out of. There was the study that resulted in the Will Smith movie, and that didn't seem to gain. I watched the movie, but it wasn't very popular. It's like people didn't want to deal with that. And then over the next few years, we'd hear about concussions, but it didn't seem like it was quite as much at the forefront. And now here recently with studies like yours and other things going on, and this year the situation with Tua Tagovailoa, the Dolphins quarterback, right. It's kind of back out in the forefront from an like how important is it that players do start, and not just NFL players, football players across the board, how important is it that we get back to a point where we are talking about these things all the time?
I think we absolutely want to talk about it because I think that what we're finding is that how much time someone takes to recover from a head injury absolutely affects their long-term health. Like, so if we know that if you're going to play, and it's really hard to dissuade, you know, people playing in the NFL from playing hard, you know, can you take the break between the two? You know, what can you do to protect your brain after you stop playing? You know, to be clear, our work is with, you know, former players, right? We don't work with any active players. So we're pretty preoccupied with how do we care for them after they leave the league, after the head injury has occurred. So while I can't speak to, you know, preventing head injuries or the acute stuff, I will say that we're seeing that there's a lot that probably can be done to protect and treat some of the conditions that football players get anyway after they go. So, yeah, keeping an eye on the conversation is key, but I want to, you know, be focused on the part that I know much about, which is, you know, the living former players.
Is there a lot of regret from the people you have spoken with that they did not take it more seriously when they were playing?
None of them, what I see when I talk to former players, because I do it all the time, is that the look they get in their eye when they talk about the locker room is just priceless. I think none of them, I think, regret playing. What I hear sometimes is the length of play. Some of them wish they'd left sooner. I think there's, you know, new technologies coming out with the Guardian Cap. There's new things coming out that I think they wish they had access to. So I don't know that anyone regrets playing, but I do think trying to emphasize taking care of their health after they go, there's a surprising amount of There's a surprising lack of health literacy among the guys. I think when they're playing, they've got all the medical care. They've got someone there attending to their every need. They have top-notch doctors. I think when they leave, that's when they sort of fall off and don't know how to get a doctor, what to look out for. So, again, I think a lot of it comes, how do they take care of themselves after?
Okay,
and that's where we come in.
I don't know you at all, but I'm listening to you talk, and I don't hear somebody that hates football. And a lot of times when I've spoken with doctors and other people who deal with concussions, I talk to them and I say, this is someone who just hates football. How important is it that the message that you and others, that players and other folks can feel like that there's not an agenda that goes along with it?
Oh, that's interesting. I've never been asked that before. In a sense, I just accept football as the reality. I think America loves it so much, and the players themselves love it so much. It's. I don't see it going anywhere, so I kind of don't spend time thinking about how to bring about its end. I think in some ways it's about informed consent. You know, how do we give living former players, because that's who we care about, as much information as we possibly can, the ones who are currently playing to make decisions about how long to stay, and then more importantly, once they leave, to let them know that the head injury that they had can cause things like high blood pressure that are treatable. So I think in some ways, like, I don't have a lot of animosity towards the game, largely because the richness that it brought to the players that I speak to, it's so meaningful to them. I can't imagine trying to take that away, nor do I have the power to do that.
This is a terrible question, but as we wrap up, like, what's the bottom line here? What's the thing that you want people to know as a result of this research that you've done?
I want people to know, especially those who played ball or have had head injuries, that the trouble they're having with their memory or their memory, their concentration, go to the doctor and get the regular stuff checked first. Check your sleep apnea, check your high blood pressure, check your depression, check your testosterone. There's so much that you can treat that could really improve your life and your health. To focus on the CTE aspect of the story, you could end up losing a lot of good years.
Very good. Rachel, thank you so much for this time. I hope I don't sound like a total idiot talking to you, but I really
Not
enjoyed your
great
side of
questions.
It.
You got the point of the paper, which is a huge relief.
Awesome.
So I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time.
Take it easy. Uh-huh. Bye.
That's Rachel Kershaw joining us. And again, I don't understand all this, but I know it's a big deal. And that second to last question that I asked her, like, how do we protect football players by really getting them to protect themselves by them understanding long-term implications of concussions? And it's not just, I was watching the, again, this is my second pro wrestling reference of this show, and I tell you, I used to watch it back in like the 90s. I don't watch it anymore, but I watched the Vince McMahon documentary that's currently on Netflix. It was really good. It was very interesting. And at one point, they're talking with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who's one of those guys that when I was watching wrestling, he was one of my favorites. And he basically said that he doesn't believe in CTE. He's been dropped on his head how many times in his career? And so that exists in pro. I'm sure it exists in pro wrestling. I know what they're doing is you know, those pro wrestlers are amazingly talented at what they're able to do and the way they are able to do things where the body doesn't take quite the brunt that you think it did. But there are still moments where guys are getting hit in the head, and you got somebody like Stone Cold Steve Austin who's probably been dropped on his head hundreds of times, and he's saying, I don't really think CTE exists. And that's a paraphrase. Go watch the thing for yourself and you'll see what he was saying. But that's the important part of all this. And if I'm a 22 to 28 year old, like, I'm 42 now. I think back to who I was when I was 22 to 28. I was an idiot. Most of us are idiots at that age. We're in our 20s, right? So if I'm sitting there playing football, making tons of money, knowing that I'm setting myself up for the rest of my life, I'm not worried about a concussion. Because I got other things that I deem as being more important. How do we get the message to these players early on in their careers, before they have families, before they have all these other things? And I don't totally know the answer to that question. I think Rachel's work goes a long way towards that. All right, we'll take a break. We will switch gears. We'll talk some Blues hockey coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at on Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for about another 20 minutes. But if you're somebody who occasionally turns off the radio, say at 8 o'clock when Sports Open Line gets done, well, that's a bad decision just in general thought. But it's an especially bad decision this evening because we've got a roundtable discussion at 8 o'clock. I will be part of it. Tom Ackerman kind of was the leader. And then Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, part of it as well. Coming off the Cardinals press conference earlier in the week, we gave our kind of wide-ranging takeaways of what we heard and what we think is going to happen moving forward. So that's going to begin after the 8 o'clock news. So hopefully you can be tuned in for that. Last night, the Blues lost to Columbus by 3-1 score as they continue their preseason. By the way, I don't know if I should do this or not, but I'm going to, because I always try to speak well of people who do a nice job, whether they're competitors or not. I know sometimes in our world you're not supposed to speak about the competition. But as I did leave yesterday, I was listening to some of the Blues game as I was driving home, and a guy who used to be here at KMOX and is now over across the street got an opportunity to do a play-by-play of the Blues game last night in Alex Ferrario. I don't know Alex that well. We've talked occasionally in the Cardinals clubhouse. I knew of him, but I don't really know him that well. That's a really cool opportunity for him, and I thought he did a great job. So obviously Chris Kerber is the normal voice of the Blues, and he is amazing. Love listening to him. But Alex got a chance last night. I thought it was really cool that he did, and I enjoyed listening to him for a little bit as I was driving home. So a KMOX alum doing big things, and that was cool to be able to see. However, the Blues did not play well. I keep putting the caveat on it. It's the preseason, so what do you really take away from the preseason? It doesn't seem like things are going the way that Drew Bannister would want them to go at this point. We're now less than a week away from the start of the regular season, and it just doesn't seem like it has completely come together. We saw some different guys on the lines, different line combinations in that game yesterday, and that did continue during practice today. So Drew Bannister spoke to the media after practice, and he spoke specifically about what they're trying to do and changing some lines around.
Yeah, and I think we did that yesterday, trying to get some life into our group and see. But again, today's a new day, and yesterday was yesterday. We've moved on for that, and I thought our group had a good response out on the ice. The guys worked, and I thought we got what we needed to accomplish here today to get ourselves ready for tomorrow.
So yeah, they're going to get back at tomorrow. And look, we're at a point now with the regular season starting less than a week. In a perfect world, you would like to be able to know what those line combinations are going to look like. And specifically today, Dylan Holloway got moved up, was a top six forward in there. We also saw Alexander Texier getting the opportunity to move up as well. And Bannister did talk about the importance of line chemistry and trying to get that as quickly as you can. Like, you got to get these guys on the ice together and skating together as much as possible as you figure out what the lines are going to be, what's going to give you the best chance to score goals, what's going to give you the best chance to win games, but then get them on the ice together so they can start developing some chemistry.
It's them getting touches together and getting some familiarity. Obviously, it's not going to come in one practice. You'd like to see it come together in one game, but that's yet to be seen. The guys will play tomorrow, and then hopefully things for the lines kind of match up. And so it's just, again, it's another opportunity for them to play with some different players. But, we're coming down to a point where we have to kind of lock in some lines.
Yeah, they are getting to that point. Again, they've got just a couple preseason games left, and then they start the season on the road coming up next week. And you don't want to have a slow start to the season. Three straight games on the West Coast to begin the year, and you got to get some points coming out of that before you come home to get the home portion of your schedule started. I thought this was really interesting from Coach Bannister, because generally speaking, I don't think we're watching these preseason games. Again, it's preseason. We're watching these preseason games and saying, man, Blues are playing well. They've only won one game in the preseason. That was a win against Chicago in overtime. Outside of that, it has been multiple goal losses except for their first loss of the year of the preseason when they fell at Dallas 2-1. Every other game that they've lost by multiple goals. So, again, the overall result doesn't really matter. More importantly, they're not scoring a lot of goals. They're just not. And they've scored one or less goals in what? Three of their five, is that right? It's just, there's not a lot of goal scoring. It doesn't seem like it's all put together yet. And it's not supposed to be all put together at this point. But I think I get the sense that they're just a little bit behind where they would want to be. And Bannister talked about kind of the the dichotomy between being really happy with the way the team is practicing, the energy, the enthusiasm, all those tag words that people who aren't doing sports radio like to use, but then compare that to what they're also seeing in games, which isn't the the same type of result.
To be fair to the guys, like, I've been really happy with how we've approached our practices in training camp. They've, you know, away from the rink, they've come in great shape. They're doing the proper things in the weight room, pre and post practice. The practices, you know, 90% of the practices I've been really, really happy with. And it's something that, you know, we talked about in the summer with our staff, with our players, that, you know, I felt coming into last year that maybe we lacked a little bit of that competitiveness against each other when we came to practice. And, you know, it's a credit to the players. But now, you know, I said this yesterday, we got to start seeing it translate to the games. And so we'll keep pushing our guys and get them to work and practice until we see that happen.
Yeah, I appreciate the candor there. I really do. I appreciate the fact that he's saying we got to see it in games, got to see it in games, pushing in practice, got to see it in games. Unfortunately, some of that is some of the same narratives that we were hearing last year. Again, I keep saying it over and over and over, saying, oh, you're going to say, Matt, yeah, preseason. But two preseason games to go. I think a lot of people would feel a lot more comfortable if they could just kind of put it all together and it looked really good in one of these next two games. They're going to match up against Dallas coming up tomorrow night. And then they're going to have a neutral site game against Chicago coming up this weekend. And then that's going to be it for the preseason. Up next, the regular season. A week from yesterday, they are going to travel to Seattle to open up the year. Then next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, they play at San Jose. And then next Friday, they'll play at Vegas. So they're doing a 3 out of 4 on the West Coast in the first week of the season before they come home for a lengthy homestand when they're going to match up against four straight teams at home starting on October 15th, and that homestand is going to end on October 22nd. So that's, what, 4 games in 7 days. So a lot of games here early on in the season, which is not always the case. Sometimes it feels like the games are really spread out at the beginning of the season, but that is not the case for the Blues right now. All right, one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll get you back up to date on everything going on in the baseball playoffs. That's up next. And again, we've got our big roundtable that includes Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler, and Tom Ackerman, in addition to myself. That begins after the 8 o'clock news. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up here on the program. Tomorrow night, no show. We've got Thursday night football, and then we'll be back for a full 2-hour program coming up on Friday. Buccaneers and Falcons, the game coming up tomorrow night. And another reminder, after the 8 o'clock news this evening, we've got a special roundtable as Tom Ackerman led a conversation that included Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler, and myself. We posted the video of that earlier in the week, but if you saw it and want to hear it again, or if you haven't heard it, you can listen to it at 8 o'clock. And not to give too much away, but I think we're going to start doing more things like that here moving forward, where you're going to get an opportunity for us to be on screen a little bit during the day, and might repurpose those for radio stuff later on the day. But all that is sort of up in the air here at the moment. But I can't tell you how much I had fun doing it, just being with those guys. I still kind of pinch myself as somebody who grew up in St. Louis and read Bernie Miklas, the fact that we're colleagues now, and I'm having him on the show, and we're sitting there doing videos together. Like, it's pretty darn cool, and I'm glad that glad he's part of the team once again here at KMOX. So the Royals today, they advance to the ALDS with a win over the Orioles 2-1. They sweep that series in Baltimore. Really impressive performance. I've got a soft spot for the Royals because I spent 2 years working in their organization. I was their broadcaster for their low-A affiliate, and man, we got to the championship. I say we, the team that I broadcast for. The team got to the championship series in the Midwest League. Each of the 2 years that I was there, won one of them. It was a lot of fun. Many of the players from those World Series teams were there. Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, Salvador Perez, Danny Duffy. I'm sure there's others that I'm forgetting here at the moment. So I've always kind of had a soft spot in my heart for the Royals. I don't really know. Like, I know there's like the Kansas City-St. Louis rivalry. I can't talk about the Chiefs on this show without getting really angry text messages about you're the voice of St. Louis. Why are you talking about the Chiefs? Because there are a group of people out there who dislike the NFL so much and feel like the Chiefs are partly culpable for the Rams getting the opportunity to move to Los Angeles. And we're not going down that conversation right now. And I understand people who feel that way. I've never once dismissed people who feel that way. That is a very valid way to feel. Absolutely. But like the TV ratings show it, Chiefs are incredibly popular in St. Louis. When they're on TV, it gets a huge rating in St. Louis. So more people than not like the Chiefs. What in a year where the Cardinals are not in the playoffs, what's the feeling on the Royals? I think the Royals kind of represent some hope for the Cardinals because of what they did last year to this year. It shows that you can do it. But what is that feeling? I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that coming up on Friday a little bit on what the general feeling is on St. Louis people about the Royals. If you root for them just a little bit or if you really, really dislike them because they're in Kansas City. All right, that is it for the program tonight. Up next, it's our roundtable, Cardinals roundtable. That's after the 8 o'clock news here on KMOX.